I discovered, well, I knew before we arrived that my daughter, Mandy, already knew Tim and Mary Beth. She was the registrar at Lake Ann Camp for a number of years. But I discovered last night that Tim's grandmother, we knew very well two summers that we spent at Lake Ann as program director, because Eva, at that time, Eva Bush made the most unbelievable cinnamon rolls that you have ever eaten. And I understand that Tim knows the recipe and actually helped make them. And we also then discovered that Mary Beth, we were just asking, so because we had never been in person to get to meet your pastor and his wife, and they met at Baptist Bible College where Barb and I met a few years before them. And so, Mary Beth, where are you from and your background? Said, well, my dad was a pastor, and then when I was in college, he moved to ABWE. And, I mean, ABWE, it's a fairly good-sized mission agency, but not that big. So, said, well, who are your mom and dad? And it turns out that we know her parents. They're very good friends. And so, we've got great connections that we didn't even know existed. And then, as we've been with you last evening, again this morning, we confess that names don't always stick. We should be able to call some of you by name, and please don't be offended if it doesn't pop out when we greet you. But we do want to again say thank you for a wonderful partnership. I think the first time I visited the First Baptist of Nuevo was in 1972. My dad had become your pastor. And so we began making pilgrimages to Nuevo. We love this part of the state of Michigan. I'm a Michigan boy. I was born and raised in the state. I know this is divided here, so I have to reveal which of the universities is my choice. But in Quebec, maize and blue is seen on my person often. So said enough about that, but it's a pleasure to come back and visit churches who have partnered with us. And so when we went to Quebec, God allowed us to share our burden for ministry there, the needs of the people in Quebec, and he allowed us to build partnerships with, at that time, 20 churches. We still have 17 supporting churches, and most of them have been with us as partners all of those years. And we are so grateful for that. Now, I have to just say something real quickly, because there is a terrible rumor going around. Now, I confess that this part of it is true. In about 6 weeks, I am going to be 70 years old. I know I don't act my age. I probably do look my age. But so according to the government, Barb and I will become retirees, which means we'll start collecting Social Security and the Canadian Pension Fund, but we are not going to be retiring from ministry. With ABWE, they give us that option to continue in ministry, and we're taking them up on it. And so we've told our leadership team that for at least the next couple of years, health allowing and all, that we are planning to continue in ministry, and we're grateful that we can. We've been regional directors for the United States, USA, northeast part of the country, and central Canada, and as a new couple is found that will take that role over, that will just mean we have more time to be involved in ministry in Quebec. We're excited to be able to get involved with international students. I'm on the board of a ministry in Canada, International Student Ministries of Canada, and I joined the board because they wanted to see that ministry expanding into French-speaking universities, and we can help with that. We also are looking forward to being able to do more training and mentoring and coaching right there in our region in Quebec City. Our church, last night we referred to it, but our church plant, Cradle Baptist Church, we commissioned a new church plant team a year and a half ago. So right across town, we have a new church plant that has begun. And as we have more time, hopefully we'll be able to encourage them. And they have a goal, as does Cradle Baptist Church, that in the next 5 years, both of us hope to launch another church plant team. Quebec City is roughly 750,000 people. And there are good, sound, gospel-preaching churches there. But there are way too few. And there are still hundreds of thousands of people who don't know Jesus. So as the Lord enables us and we can continue to be part of what He's doing in that city and in the province of Quebec, we want to be a part of it. So, yeah, we sort of are retiring, but we're not. So I hope that's just as clear as mud and we'll just keep moving forward. So this morning, make sure I have the magic clicker here. This morning, I want to explore a small part of a very familiar verse. In fact, it was one of the verses that Tim just read to you a few moments ago. I hope it won't insult your biblical knowledge, and I'm quite certain that it will be, as we say in French, déjà vu, or as Yogi Berra said it, déjà vu all over again. So there's the verse, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. As I said, we've been a part of your missionary family for over 30 years, and I appreciate the fact that not only our partnership as missionaries supported by your church, but also we know what you how you feel about missions. I love the being able to be a part of the flag ceremony this morning, but flags that represent places where First Baptist of Nuevo has an interest in missions. I love this bookmark. It's going home with us as a reminder of all of the places where you are investing your mission giving and prayers for people all around the globe. And so we know that you are Great Commission partners around the world. It's sort of fun to read down through this list because there are so many people, even your retirees who are even older than us, that we've known in past lives. I think Dick Sturkenberg, I met him at my parents' home. So anyway, I thank you for your commitment to world missions and being global partners for the gospel. So the part of that verse that I want to explore with you this morning is actually one word, and it is the word Samaria. Now, let's see. If we have to advance it from the back there, if we could go to the next verse, you know this verse. You could quote these verses with me. We call it the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus gave that commission to his disciples. And then, literally, as he is leaving the earth, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the verse that was there previously, he said, you're going to receive power, and then you are going to be my witnesses. And he names four locations, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So Jerusalem, let's just go through it real quickly, those locations that are named. Jerusalem, the church was born there. You know the story. The day of Pentecost, as the gospel is preached for the first time in its fullness, what a response. 3,000 people responded. I've never been a part of a meeting where that kind of a response took place. But people heard the gospel and they turned to the risen Savior. And in fact, what happened was, because there were people from all over the world that were there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, people were hearing the gospel who had come from other locations and would eventually return back home and take with them the message that they had just heard. You know what the was said of the early disciples. They turned the world upside down. The city of Jerusalem was never the same again. And so the gospel was preached, Jerusalem was touched by its power, and then Judea. In the book of Acts, the following chapters, 2-7, describe what was going on as the gospel spread from the city of Jerusalem out into the province, the area around Jerusalem, as the powerful message of the gospel was preached. And the church grew, not without struggle, not without difficulty, but the church was growing, just as Jesus had said would happen. Now, what happened next, and I know this is, like I said, this is deja vu. You've heard all of this before, but it would appear that the divine evangelism discipleship program that had been described by the Savior, it got bogged down a bit. And apparently, the folks in Jerusalem and Judea were quite content. They were seeing the church growing, and they were seeing the witness of the gospel changing people's lives. But it sort of got stuck. And so God providentially allowed persecution. You know the story that is found in Acts 7 and 8, or 7 rather, as Stephen shares the story of the history of God's people. And when he reaches the end of recounting that story, beginning way back with Abraham, finishes by telling who the risen Christ is, he was put to death. The first martyr for the faith. And with his death, Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. We can take the slide off the screen for a moment, and I want to ask you about the name Samaria. What comes to mind? We're back to Sunday school now. You can talk. When you hear the name, the place name Samaria, what comes to mind? What do you know about Samaria? Now that was the last one on my list, but yes, that's there. The Good Samaritan. What else when you hear Samaria? Careful now. That is not politically correct. She said half-breeds, in case you didn't hear that. What else? Despised. Samaria. Samaritans. The woman at the well. Yeah, John chapter 4. What else? Samaria and Samaritans. They did. Yes, in fact, it was up north because they didn't want people going down to Jerusalem, which was in Judah. So yeah, they had a different place to worship. What else? Yeah, it's fascinating that normally, if a Jew was going from Jerusalem to Galilee up in the north, they crossed the Jordan River, went up the east bank of the Jordan, and when they were far enough north so they were beyond Samaria, they would cross back over into Galilee. They wouldn't even go through the territory of Samaria. What else about Samaria and Samaritans? Sort of get the picture? This is really interesting. It's in John chapter 8. I didn't write down the reference, but so if you want to insult someone, and this is what the Pharisees said to Jesus. They said, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" So if you're going to call someone a nasty name, that was the name you used. You're a Samaritan. And yet the command that Jesus gave as he went into heaven, you're going to receive power, the Spirit's coming, and then you're going to witness, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, really? Samaria? And then to the uttermost part of the world. Now, someone referred, stole my thunder, but there is the story of the Good Samaritan. Who told the story? Do you remember? It's not a trick question. Jesus told the story. Now, we don't want that quite yet. Am I making that thing move? I'm sorry. If I am, technology and me are not good friends. Just a black screen for the moment would be great. So the Good Samaritan, Jesus tells a story, and you've probably heard it preached, probably Pastor Shaw or some other pastor in your background. You've heard the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, what's interesting is in that story that Jesus tells, the hero of the story, it's not the priest, it's not the Levite, both, good religious men. No, the hero of the story is a Samaritan, that mixed breed, that hated, despised, avoided person. That's the hero of the story of the Good Samaritan, who showed compassion, who stopped, who took care of the man who had been beaten and said, here's some money. I'm going to be coming back through soon, and if it costs more than what I'm giving you now, I'll take care of the bill. The hero of the story was, in fact, a Samaritan. So, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and then in Samaria. And then on, of course, to the ends of the world. All right, so Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. I looked at this list. Jerusalem and Judea, well represented. You have ministries, local ministries here that are touching the city of Nuevo, that are touching your county, that are you're involved in ministries to your Jerusalem and your Judea. And praise God for that. You're making a difference. You're demonstrating the love of Jesus to people right here. The ends of the earth. I mean, I'm looking down through the places where you have your missionaries that you support, and they are all across the globe. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers, and I want you to understand that my goal this morning is not to stir up the nest and cause problems and be the guy who then leaves town and lets Pastor Schoff, pick up the pieces. That is in no way my goal. But what do we do with Samaria? How do we deal with that? So, first of all, we don't live in the Middle East, okay? So, there is no location here in this part of the state of Michigan that's called Samaria. So, we can't, we can't say, well, yeah, we're just going to ignore that part of, because it doesn't exist, not here. So we can't say, well, it doesn't apply to me, and just turn the page and go on to the ends of the earth. All right, so what do we do? What do we do with that? I want to just remind us again of how Jesus felt about Samaria. John chapter 4, Titus mentioned the story. John chapter 4, it says Jesus said he had to go through Samaria. And nobody, no Jew, had to go through Samaria. I described that already. Go over near Jericho, go up the other side of the Jordan, and then come back into the country when you've avoided the Samaritans. And yet Jesus, that was not the way he conducted business. He went looking for Samaritans. So when he gives that great commission there in Matthew 28, make disciples of every nation, every ethne, the name of our North America ministry, that included at that time Samaria. And it is that broad today. So you say, well, okay, we don't have a Samaria. So we can, well, I want to show you a couple of quotes. One, first of all, from a pastor. He was in Toronto for many years, this was his observation. Last night we mentioned that in Toronto on a given Sunday, worship services are conducted in 130 different languages. So the whole world is in Toronto. But here's the quote. I think we can put it up on the screen. Our Jerusalems, with which we were so familiar, now look and feel like Samaria. Our neighbors used to be those who were physically close and culturally close. Now they are physically close and culturally distant. Now, I don't know about Nuevo. I haven't done any demographic studies of Nuevo or your county or this part of the state, so I can't speak with any authority, but it is becoming more and more the case that those who live nearby are very different. Our church up in Quebec, we have people from 9 different nations. We have Spanish speakers. We have Portuguese speakers. We have a number of African countries represented with all of their languages in addition to French. We have Chinese. We have in our little church family, the world is there. And those people bring cultures that are different. There are cultural differences all around us. So that's a guy who ministered in Toronto. Let me read you another quote. The following, this is taken from the Word of Life, Word in Life Study Bible. Just a note that was included in one of these passages. There are countless modern parallels to the Jewish-Samaritan enmity, indeed, wherever peoples are divided by racial and ethnic barriers. Perhaps that's why the Gospels and Acts provide so many instances of Samaritans coming into contact with the message of Jesus. It is not the person from the radically different culture on the other side of the world that is hardest to love, but the nearby neighbor whose skin color, language, rituals, values, ancestry, history, and customs are different from our own. And if you go to the next slide, then that entire quote, and I want to just leave it up there for a moment as we continue. So November 26th, is that right? This is November 26th. We've been traveling. I've lost track. So we're November 26th, 2021. We are in Nuevo, Michigan this morning. And here's a hard question. Who are the Samaritans of your world? As you look at that quote, you notice some of the things: skin color, language, rituals, values, ancestry, history, customs that are different from ours. Someone who's different. I think that's probably the simplest way to describe Samaria today. Our Every Ethne team has developed some tools that we encourage churches to consider because it's a way of helping all of us to be more sensitized to the, if you will, the Samaritans, the people different from us who are around us. One of those Heart, Mind, and Soul seminars is for Muslims. Actually, it's for people in our churches who need to have a better understanding of, first of all, what do Muslims believe, but then also how can we build relationships that can bear the weight of truth. And then 2 years ago, a new seminar was developed. It's the seminar for the LGBTQ community. That seminar has been presented everywhere it has been presented. The response of church people as they are exposed to the ways that they can build loving relationships with people in a different culture, different lifestyle. It's been astounding as people catch a vision for the fact that don't agree with a lifestyle, but those people need Jesus. And now the third of those Heart, Mind, and Soul seminars is in development, and it's going to be to help people to understand, help us understand the Hindu religion and Hindus so that we'll know how to build relationships with them. So you see, we are surrounded by, quote, Samaritans, people who are different from us. And I think that is a part of God's plan. Well, I don't think. It is obviously a part of God's plan as He has brought the world to us, to us here in North America. Barb and I, about 10 years ago, we had a new prayer card made. Oh, just happened to have one here. Now, this is going to be a collector's item soon, so you better get one of these. But I mentioned 10 years ago because we developed our own little logo, Crossing Cultures Without Crossing Borders, and then ABWE stole it and use it everywhere now. That's a joke. But God put it on our hearts as we were looking at ministries that He was putting around us that we could do exactly that. We could cross cultures. We didn't have to cross a border. We lived in Canada. We live in Quebec. That's another whole story. And if you know anything about Quebec and Canada, but God put us in a place where we could minister to people from all over the world, from all kinds of cultural backgrounds, and we didn't have to go anywhere except out our front door. Well, that's probably true for all of you. You know, it's no accident where we live. I'd like, if you can get the text of Acts 17 up on the screen, just look at this verse here, these two verses. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. I love that. God designed, he knows, first of all, where we're going to be. He knows how long we're going to be there. That's part of His plan, and that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. God's got it under control, so the world migration is all part of a plan that is included in what God is at work doing today. And so the people that are here, the people that live in your county, that you work with, that you go to school with, that is all part of a divine plan that is going to bring glory to God. And then, as God's children, regardless of who we are, where we are, our call is the same. The next verses, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What a privilege that God has given us. The heart of God for all, including Samaritans, is very clear. Referenced this during the Sunday school hour, but we'll put it back on the screen again. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we get to be a part of that. Every one of us. Now, if you weren't here for Sunday school, I encourage you to, well, you don't have to watch the live stream, but think about the people that God has placed in your life. It's not by mistake. It's not a coincidence. It's a divine plan.